to Underground Magnolia Podcast, elevated entertainment with me, the one and only Desiree of Alto, in the whole wide world. Welcome back. I am here again with my Nigerian husband, Shagun Abeganran, who will help me review the Nollywood-Bollywood mashup film, Namaste, Wahala. He's back on the mic with me because his take on the last podcast about Bob Hart's Abishola was so well received. The sitcom airing on CBS is set in Detroit and is about a white businessman who falls in love with a Nigerian nurse. In case you've forgotten, my husband was born and raised in Ibadan, Nigeria. He came to the United States in the early 80s for college. Fast forward to now, he is a principal at his own architectural management and development company in Southern California. As for Namaste Wahala, which loosely translates into Hello Trouble in Hindi and Nigerian slang, it's about a young couple, a Nigerian woman, an Indian man who fall head over heels for one another. However, the couple's love can't stop their families from clashing in the cross-cultural rom-com. Set in Lagos, Nigeria, the film has been touted as the first major collaboration between the two most powerful movie industries in the world, Bollywood, which is known as the film industry in India, and in Nigeria, Nollywood is the preferred name of the cinema game there. Indians have been a part of African culture for many decades, including Nigeria, for a variety of reasons, including in the past through British colonization, and in more recent times for commerce. Thousands of Indians have been born and or raised in Nigeria, the African continent's most populous nation. Take Namaste Wahala's director Hamisha Daryani Ahuja, who has lived in Nigeria since she was a child. In her 30s now, the businesswoman with the knack for celluloid wanted to bring the two worlds together, and this project marks her directorial debut. The film, starring Eni Dima Okoje and Ruslan Momtas as the couple, was supposed to hit theaters in April last year, but due to the pandemic, it was postponed. It resurfaced in limited release in Nigerian theaters in December 2020, and in 2021, Netflix added the film to its Valentine's Day lineup. Namaste Wahala has been well received on the streamer. So without further ado, after this music break, I sit down with my Nigerian husband to discuss Namaste Wahala. Hello, Trouble. Namaste Wahala, what were your thoughts?
I wasn't really familiar with what it is until you told me what the premise of the movie is. And I thought, okay, you know, that's an interesting twist. It would be interesting to see what the dialogue looks like.
Loosely translated, Namaste Wahala means hello, trouble in Hindi and in Nigerian slang.
Correct. The Wahala part is a Yoruba ethnic language in Nigeria, which Wahala means trouble.
It's interesting that that word is Yoruba because, correct me if I'm wrong, but aren't the actors Ibo from another well-known ethnic group in Nigeria?
Yeah, that is true. But even though it's unique to the Yoruba in terms of the pronunciation. If you go to the north, they use the same sounding. So if you say Wahala in the north, everybody knows what it means. So there's some level of, what I will call crossover in the ethnic dialogue. So Wahala is almost universal, even though it's native to the Yoruba people.
So what were your overall thoughts when we sat down to watch the film?
I thought it was an interesting, you know, dynamics, because it's just trying to talk about a love story from the vantage of two different cultures, which often happens in the world today.
Well, I mean, you know, there's nothing groundbreaking about a cross-cultural love affair or people from two different ethnic backgrounds, races, nationalities, what have you, falling in love. But for me, this was of interest because you are Nigerian and bringing these two cultures together in terms of the film industry. So Nollywood, which is known as the Nigerian film industry, and Bollywood, which is the Indian film industry. These two film industries are the largest two film industries in the world. So that was very exciting to me. And what a lot of people may or may not know is that there are large numbers of Indians who live not only in Nigeria, throughout Africa, for a variety of reasons. And many people have, speaking of Nigeria specifically, many Indians moved to Nigeria. Many were born there. Some have left, some have stayed.
Yeah, we had family friends that were Indians when I was growing up, but they were largely expatriates at that time. They were recruited by the government to come and do work in the country for different reasons. So aside from the work that they do, there's some kind of social dynamics that is part of it, because people do get together, you know, over the weekend and the holidays. And one of the main things that is shared is actually, you know, the fabric from a different country, then a little bit of the food. And then the other thing that is shared is, as it got established, some of the Indians and other expatriates, they starting to set up, you know, retail stores where, you know, they become more integrated into the fabric of the society, and then the kids play together. So
it seems obvious that such a love story would happen. It wouldn't be necessarily, or would it be unusual for Indian and Nigerian men and women to fall in love and have families? Is that unusual?
I don't know if I will categorize something as unusual, but I think in general, at least when I was growing up, people tend not to marry out of their basic race and culture. But as I traveled back in the past 10 years, I could see that some of that is changing in dramatic ways. People date people outside of their culture. So I would not say that is something that is, it's not unusual if you look at the context of Nigeria, because things happen a certain way. It's also not unusual if you look at Indian culture, because I do have some Indian friends here too, is where still today there are a lot of arranged marriages in the Indian culture, but socially they interact with other cultures. So Indians being in Nigeria and Nigerians and Indian mingling with each other is very common. What may not be as common is the actual marriage between the two cultures. And I thought what the movie did very well is it provided the right context. The core people were already embedded in Nigerian culture. And the guy that is the love interest, he is not as familiar with the culture. So he had to be coached along. And that made it actually more interesting in the process.
So then let's just go on ahead and talk about what the movie is. So in short, the movie is about a Nigerian woman and an Indian man who fall in love in Nigeria. So it's set in and around Lagos, Nigeria. And so that's what it's about. So the Nigerian woman, played by Enidima Okoje, a Nigerian actress. So she comes from a prominent business family. And the Indian guy, they really didn't explain, I felt, how he was there, but he didn't seem, it didn't appear that he was born there. It appeared as though his family may have had some business there, or he was a businessman from India who was going back and forth from India to Nigeria.
I mean, my assumption from the movie premise is, it's clear he was not born in Nigeria. That's otherwise he would not need to be coached along that much. Two, from what the movie stated his vocation to be, he appears that he's working in Nigeria, Now, maybe it goes back and forth, but at least he was working in some equity investment capacity in Nigeria based on what one of the hoteliers mentioned in the movie.
And the actor who plays the main love interest, Raj Ruslan Mumtaz, hopefully I'm pronouncing that properly, and the girl's name in the movie, played by Miss Okoje, her character is named Didi. Let's talk about their connection. Did you like their connection? I thought the two actors had really good chemistry. What did you think?
Yeah, I think the chemistry is good, and I think in terms of trying to explain the dynamics of both cultures, I actually thought from what I know about Indian culture growing up, I won't say I know all of it, but just from the fringe of it, and being here and having a few professional colleagues that are of Indian descent, and then talking about family and Mary, I actually know somebody here who is a colleague of mine that is an arranged marriage between her and her husband, and they're both top professionals in their field, and it works for them, and they're both of Indian descent. So from that standpoint, I think it explained the basis of the relationship. And especially when the guy, I'm going on a little bit long, when the guy goes, "I'm going to marry you," when he met the girl, that is somewhat similar to what Indians would do when they want to get married, because they set up the date and people must state their intention. Otherwise, it's a waste of time. The lady is going to move on. The Indian lady will move on to another guy if the guy is not stating his interest. But conversely, in Nigerian culture, that's not how it's done. So, you know, that's why the love interest said, "Well, yeah, you must be really bold." But based on the premise of the movie, there was the Indian lady that was the business partner of the Nigerian girl who's the love interest. She bridged the gap for both sides in terms of how she explained what was going on. And I think that made the girl a little bit more comfortable, because if the Indian lady was not there, the Nigerian girl would have just told the guy to go fly a kite and not be interested from the approach.
So some people may think that Nigerians may also have arranged marriages.
I know that when I was growing up, they have a form of arranged marriages. I'm not aware that that is the case today in an active sense. But I am aware, like, you know, people do in developed countries, people do try to push their kids into spaces where they can meet each other. But the formal arranged marriage in terms of the urban area in Nigeria, I'm not generally aware of that. But I do know as of today, arranged marriages is still prevalent in Indian culture to a certain extent.
So then going back to the movie, so then our main couple, Didi and Raj, was their connection, did it seem believable? Did it seem forced to you?
It seems believable in the context of my general understanding of both cultures. So, and the part that I thought was not as believable, of course, it's a movie. The way they met at the beginning at the beach, yeah, it's okay, people can bump into each other, but the kind of chest pumping that happened, I wouldn't say that the average Nigerian lady would stand around to be doing that on the beach with somebody that she's never met. One time, fine, but not two or three times, you know. So, I mean, but again, it's a movie. It's something that you can talk about. I just thought it was interesting. That's all.
Now, you mentioned the beach. When a lot of people think of Nigeria or Africa in general, they were like, beaches. There are no beaches in Lagos. If you could just briefly talk about there being beaches in Lagos.
I mean, there's an island that is part of Lagos. So,
and what is that island called?
It's called Victoria Island. So I think, you know, it's the same thing. The only way I can explain it is this. is for Nigeria purposes. There are certain parts of Nigeria when you go, let's use Lagos for example, when you go to the main urban area, if you're in the Victoria Island and you're in some other places, it is not dissimilar in terms of what you see, you know, not too far from a beach in, you know, in the U.S. Of course, culture and patronage is very, very different. So, you know, what I've been doing over the years is I just tell people, if you have a question, Google it. Just don't believe what the sometimes the news media that may not necessarily, you know what's going on to explain to you. Because sometimes when I read something about Africa or I read about Nigeria, sometimes I shake my head like, did they really know? So
after this music break, Segun and I continue to talk about the film Namaste Wahala and the toll cross-cultural love can have on who else? The parents. Talk about the parents and, of course, these cross-cultural type projects and movies and films and things like that. You always have the parents, of course, who are concerned, and this movie isn't any different, where you have the supportive parent versus the parent who is like, what are you, you know, you guys are not from the same culture, what are you doing, your disappointment. What did you think of the whole exchange with the Nigerian parents and the daughter's revelation that she was in love with an Indian man?
So I think you kind of have to look at from two lenses. So if you start with the Nigerian household lens, in general, from a basic cultural standpoint, both the daughter, and this applies to men also, there is a form of implied acceptance that is generally given before people get married by the mom and the dad. And if there is really strong opposition from the mom and the dad, even to a certain extent today, people don't get married. And this is even what happens between Nigerian and another Nigerian. And sometimes people will hold their acceptance for religious reasons, they withhold their acceptance for, you know, ethnic reasons, but they're very clear about it. So it doesn't happen as much as it used to happen because the kids know early what the preference is, and sometimes they toe the line, but if they do end up liking somebody that is outside of that range, then they go through a process of trying to get their parents to go along. Another thing that you would notice is that the lady that is the love interest, even though she has a job, she's a professional, she's still living at home. And that's not uncommon in Nigerian society where, especially women, they don't leave their house to go waste money and go stay by themselves if they still have parents and they can live there until they get married. So the fact that the dad was very vocal is not uncommon in terms of our Nigerian culture. And in terms of the lady going through a process through her friend and the mom indirectly to get the father to come along is not unusual also. That's just the way the culture is, because if you're in the culture and you get married, it's both sides. It's like you're absorbing the other family. And if the family is from somebody totally different, so what people, the assumption is that some of the the little nuances, things will just be a little bit, would be that much more difficult. That does not mean everything is going to be in harmony because you married somebody from the same culture, but some of those differences, they feel like they know and understand how to figure that out.
And now the actors who played the mom and dad, were you familiar with them? Joque Silva played the mom and Richard Mofey Tamijo, who goes by RMD, played the dad. Were you familiar with them? I thought their acting roles were very powerful.
No, I don't know anything about both actors because I don't really get a chance to watch Nigerian movies. So I don't know anything about them. But I think in terms of from an acting standpoint, they did really well in playing the role to the point where it explains, you know, the cultural basis the way I understand it anyway.
Now, we enjoyed the film. I think that's safe to say. we thought it was funny. But I was surprised about the mixed, it had some mixed reviews. And I guess I can also see why there were mixed reviews. I mean, it's not going to win any major awards, but it was enjoyable. It's a romantic story, comedy, drama. So it had everything in it for me. Are you surprised that it received mixed reviews?
Yes, I am surprised. But if you are of Indian descent, and if you have, you know, African descent, you know, and then specifically Nigerian descent, you get the movie in terms of the lightness of some of the issues that they were trying to touch to make it a movie, and you get how they handle the sensitive issues of how parents react when kids from this different background, you know, choose to be with each other. I can understand that if you don't have any clue about any of that context, you might be wondering what the heck are they doing and why is it this way? Why is the mother and father doing this? If you take a strict American lens to look at what the father is doing, it will be considered, you know, not with the current times and trying to control his daughter, who's of legal age to do whatever she wants to do. So, and the same thing on the, if you take the same lines to the Indian, and you will notice something that a lot of people may miss is the fact that when they were in the room and the mom cooked and the wife cooked, you know, that's implied competition that still happens in African culture today in some houses.
Some of the harshest criticism did come from Indian and Nigerian press in terms of how the story was told, in terms of, I know, one Nigerian blog in particular said that there was a scene where, in what you are talking about, where the Indian mom and the Nigerian love interest, they were both cooking, and the mom is cooking these elaborate Indian dishes, mm-hmm. and the Nigerian girl cooks something called indomie, which are noodles, Nigerian noodles, and it's like, well, why would she cook these noodles?
Yeah.
And
that goes to some of the suddenness of what is changing in Nigeria. The idea of it was simple from my vantage point. The boyfriend or the fiancé loved noodles, so she cooked it. So the mom felt like, I need to give my boy what he likes growing up, and she cooked it. So there goes the push and pull of the movie. I didn't feel like she need to cook something elaborate. And when they opened the cabinet, almost everything that is in the guy's apartment is the noodles. So that's what he likes.
Good point. So what did you think of the whole Bollywood sequences where they would just break out in song and dance, which gives homage to the Bollywood movie scene?
So if I understand your question correctly, are you referring to the wedding?
No, it's like throughout the movie, there were a couple of scenes where they would just start singing and dancing like a musical.
Oh, I think to me, that's, I didn't pay too much attention to that. I just think that that's more of the fact that the story is about both cultures and they want to keep carrying it through the movie. At least that's the way I looked at it.
Since we are combining Bollywood and Nollywood, would you like to see a little bit more with music and dancing?
Not necessarily, because the love story is about modern times, not old times. And in modern times, most of the young people are now doing those cultural things as part of, you know, romance engagement. And a lot of families don't do all of the cultural things, but there's still a semblance of it. And the movie did not set itself up as a movie trying to explain traditional culture. It's trying to explain collision of culture based on two people meet and trying to move on. So I didn't think there needs to be more than what it showed, in my opinion.
Who should watch this movie? Is this movie just for young Nigerians and Indians, or you think it crosses different ages?
I think it's everybody, in a sense that if you have no clue about both cultures, you watch it. At a minimum, you will find light moments to enjoy, and you may just have a question or have different bases to engage both cultures wherever you see them in the world. And it could be an icebreaker in talking to somebody.
What advice would you give to Americans who come across this movie? How would you advise them in watching this movie?
I would give the same advice I've been giving since I've been in this country, is that things that you see that are un-American is not necessarily right or wrong. It means that it's unique to the culture of the people that are exhibiting that act or that behavior. And unless you really understand the culture, you cannot make a declarative judgment about it's good or it's bad. To the extent that this is a movie, I think it's more about being open-minded. And I will draw a parallel. I saw the movie The Joy Luck Club.
Oh, The Joy Luck Club from back in the
90s. Yeah, so when I saw the movie, I had questions about what I saw. I did not even realize that it was actually a book at the time. There's some portions that I enjoyed. There's some portions that I thought were really harsh culturally. And I asked some of my friends that I run into professionally, and they actually explained that there was actually a book, and that some of the harsh portion of it is true in the old country. You know, so then, you know, then you move on. But if you don't know, you can judge it like it's just bad and these people are this. I think to the extent that the world is a little bit more global, it's more about finding basis to understand what is now you and what is not, what you didn't grow up. It's okay to question it, but making a declarative judgment as to whether it's good or bad from a cultural standpoint, I think it's a leap. And they always say there's no cultural exchange without a cultural clash. So,
ooh. Well, and with that, so it looks like we give Namaste Wahala thumbs up.
For me, thumbs up. I enjoyed the movie. I just thought some of the scenes were hilarious. So I like the parents in terms of the setting of the movie, because they were unique to their own culture. And I like the Indian mom just because she's like the way some of my Indian friends have described their parents, even though I've never met somebody actually, you know, like that before. So she was like to describe, I'm like, well, this is how they say they do. Especially when she said, oh, we have an app for that right now. That's exactly what the mom get together. They make a list. They decide which way they're going to do this. So I thought it was just hilarious.
So people should definitely check it out.
I think you should check it out. And I think what I'm planning to do, I'm going to send the movie to all my nephews and nieces to see if they can get it on Netflix and just watch it, because I think they will enjoy it.
Thanks to my husband, Shuguna Begerman, for his perspective on the film Namaste Wahala, which is currently playing on Netflix. Also know that the film's first-time director, Hamisha Daryani Ahuja, has a small but pivotal role in the film as the leading lady's business partner and friend. She's also related to someone else in the film. Watch it and find out who. Thanks again for listening. My opening and closing music is Jazz Addict's Intro by Cosimo Fogg. Other music, Bangra Bass by Punch Deck. Ambient Bongos by Alexander Nakarada. Zuma by Sapajute. Links to content mentioned are at undergroundmagnolia.com. Just click on the episode and all info will be there. Email me with anything at contact@undergroundmagnolia.com. contact@undergroundmagnolia.com. Follow me on Twitter and Instagram at UMPodcastDV. That's UMPodcastDV. Till next time, this is Desiree of Alto, the only Desiree of Alto on the planet. For Underground Magnolia Podcast, I'm out.